Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, guten Tag, bienvenidos a the Airbuds Podcast. Thanks for listening to the show. It's a basketball show today. My name's Jamel.
My name's Peter.
My name is Mike. Hello. Welcome. Happy basketball.
Happy basketball.
Happy basketball to y'all.
Peter, I feel like it's about the time where you start really caring about basketball again now that like football is wrapping up.
I'll have you know, I had to move my 9-month-old daughter into my 2-year-old's bedroom this weekend. So now my wife and I can be in separate rooms in the evening.
That's the dream.
And nothing will increase my basketball watching more than being able to get away from my wife after 7:30 at night. So, yeah, football too, but hell yeah, baby.
Well,
no longer quietly shifting in bed. You're waking up the baby.
We have a great guest today, so I'm going to get business out of the way and introduce him. Go to patreon.com/airbudspod if you want to support the buds. $5 a month gets you bonus episodes, access to the Discord, and now what has become the dab game / shot fun game.
Yeah.
Peter, did we tell you?
Yeah. I'll drink one beer too. I'll start the game with a beer.
Wait, I thought those were two separate entities. I didn't realize you were combining them.
No, this game is turning into the game of all games.
So this is just going to be the game that kills Jamel.
And Benner.
Or
it's going to kill us both.
Well, I'll explain to our guests what this is in a moment.
Yeah, okay.
If you can't go to patreon.com/airbudspod, go to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Give us 5 stars. That helps a lot. And now, today we have a very special guest. You know from his podcast, The Grolics Save the World. And, you know, being like a nationally touring headlining comedian, his excellent new special, Wallpaper, is available now on YouTube. Please welcome Adam Caton Holland.
Hey, thanks for having me on the pod. I want to hear about this game. I'm not a Patreon member yet, but tell me about this game, y'all.
Check this out. Okay, so here's the deal. It's supposed to be me playing Mike Benner, because one day I said I was good at basketball, and Benner, like, laughed at me, and I was like, you know what, Benner, how about this?
We play. He I know you're good at basketball.
Goddamn face. He laughed at me, Adam. Listen, don't let him lie to you. I go to sleep thinking about how you laughed at me.
The thing I laughed at was you saying you could beat me 11-0 and then he added this on top, Adam. He said, anytime I score a bucket, he will smoke a dab.
I'll take a dab, but I'll hit a whole wax, a grown-up size dab.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I think Jamel was having a buyer's remorse on this bet the other week.
Because he's going to die.
Because by grown up, I mean smallest amount to legally call a dab, by the way.
Yeah, but if he gets 5 points, you're fucked up, Jamel. I mean, I don't know your tolerance.
Said,
but...
And we said the game should be to five, because if I lose, I mean, that's probably would be.
Yeah, that's a humane sort of pivot on this game, I feel. Yeah. First to five.
Well, we had another humane pivot where I don't know if you're aware of what a shot fund is, but is WNBA star Elena Deladon sells a thing called a shot fund, which is literally a shotgun that you load a beer into, cock it, and then shoot it into your mouth.
Like it sprays the liquid. It's not like a beer can. Like you pour a
beer. Just liquid. It doesn't just launch a beer can into your face.
Yeah.
And it also is like out of like where the cock of the gun would be too. So it's not out of like the front of it. It's like you do this and then you kind of hold it back.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Any type of drinking and guns, you know, it's always a good idea.
Always.
It does seem like a very weird product to put your name on in 2023 when she started selling them.
It's like you don't see that coming out of the WNBA. I could see that coming out of like the WWE or some shit. But like WNBA seems a little smarter, I'd like to think, but I guess not.
Listen, man, athletes are athletes, bro. And Elena Deladon is one of the biggest bros of all time. She just pounds beers, hangs out with her dog.
And she's very into woodworking.
Crew neck sweatshirts and woodworking. Yeah.
Now it is when Jamel scores a point, I will shot fun a beer, low ABV, and Jamel will do a dab anytime I score. And that's what the game is now.
Has it happened yet? Or are you just still posturing?
We're kind of getting the energy of this is the promotional campaign. We're going to do a weigh in.
Hell yeah.
Oh shit. Well, Jamel, I've made myself also, ears, I'm afraid.
Jamel, you also haven't been smoking weed this month. I feel like you need a couple months to get your tolerance back up in preparation for this game.
Oh, no, nah, like, listen, I ran the diagnostics. I could smoke weed one day. I'll be fine.
Yeah, that was another twist, is that we're doing this in early February and Jamel decided to take the month of January off from smoking weed.
This is epic shit. I might have to show up.
Entire month off? Who said that? You know what I'm saying? I might have smoked some weed at the gym the other day.
Right. You had a dry sober January.
Yeah, exactly. No lemonade. That's what I'm dry from.
I'm doing a dry January, but it's just I don't use chapstick, so my lips are really dry. Mm.
I do a dry year every year, I think, if that's the case.
It's whatever you need it to be.
Yeah.
I actively committed to a dry January, and I just want to say this is the drunkest month I've had in probably years. So I just want to be very clear. I've been worse than ever. Started off the new year with a bang. But Benner, please, let's talk about
it. Oh, no, I kind of did the same thing where I also committed to a dry January, but then I had a movie come out and had to go to a bunch of events, and I'm not going to fucking have to talk to Shutter executives without having like three drinks in me, you know?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't make my movie, Adam, because I was four drinks. I had five drinks and talked to them.
I watched Wallpaper last night. It's so funny. It's so good. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
Hell yeah. Thanks for watching it. I've done like six comedy albums in my life, but I've never recorded one with cameras. You know what I mean? Like a special. So this is the first special, so to speak. And I'm real proud of it. Peter, you can probably relate. I got two kids. I got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. So it's my fatherhood album, but even if you're not a parent, people are telling me they're digging it. So I really wanted it to like hit with everybody. But yeah, it's about being a dad and the shift that comes with that. And there's a lot to write about that.
I'll be real with you right now, Adam. I'm so fucking pumped to watch this with my wife, because we got home from the hospital with our first kid. And the first thing we watched together was whatever the latest Jim Gaffigan special was at the time. And that shit hits fucking different as soon as you pop a kid out. Listen, I don't want Benner and Jamel to like it as much as I do. I am your target demo.
Well, I mean, for sure, Peter. I knew it was going to hit hard with you, and I appreciate that. But I do feel like there's a concern when you're a comedian. It's like, and here's my dad hour. You don't want to be this hacky kids say the darndest shit guy. So I really wanted it to hit, to still be like my sense of humor, but fatherhood.
But dads are, agree that dads are the funniest genre of person, you know.
Genre of person? they are funny, but you know, teenagers are pretty funny. They're just mean.
Yeah. That's hurtful though. Dad's that never hurtful. Hurtful. Well, I mean, dads are physically kinder. Maybe. Not with words. Well, sometimes with words.
Yeah, dads can really hurt the most, actually. But I'm trying to not be that guy.
I had a friend of mine who was got kids your age who described as, I'm in the early toddler infant stage right now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They described it as going from like physical warfare to early psychological warfare with like a 6-year-old, where like it just starts to get much more, it's not on the ground and it's more mind games on a daily basis.
Yeah, dude, I'm worried because I just feel like I talk to people who have teenagers and they're like, strap in, asshole. Like, you have no idea. Like, I had one guy give me a piece of advice and he was like, your job as a dad to a teen is they can just unload on you and you just got to take it. Like, he's like, you're doing a good job if they come home and they unload on you. That means they're not putting it out in the world. You're the safe guy for them to be a piece of shit to. And I was like, wow, that's a hard pill to swallow, but it's actually good advice. It's like, in a weird developmental way, they need to rebel against you. So just if you can grin and bear it, you're really giving them the best gift you can possibly give them. And I was like, I'm not there yet, because my 5-year-old taking the slightest of stabs, I really fucking resent.
And they're going to start peeing in bottles. You're going to have to watch out for the piss in the bottles.
And then there's that. And that's the curveball you just don't see coming.
What is it about teen boys that just makes them want to pee in weird places?
Well, I know for me, it was like, okay, there's this basement area, and if I'm in this area, no one can hear me. But if I leave the area, you can hear me. But the internet is here, and I got a boombox, and I got a PS2. It's all here. But if I just stay here, I could just be in here all night. But if I go pee in the bathroom, it's done. I can't jerk off anymore. So it was more just to preserve my little sanctuary area.
Was your whole family just waiting for you to open the door so they can like get into the jerk off room? Like,
hey, it's my turn. It's like, my turn. Yeah, the family's all designated that the space. It's yeah. Just like, sorry.
Yeah, you know, yeah, how sometimes
put it on
you
the
might
little
have
chore
a house.
Calendar. Yeah.
Yeah, one of those houses where there's like a room you can't go in. Well, we had a room where you could only jerk off in, was our version of the room. But you did have to take your shoes off.
And there yeah, was
if I make
so
a lot,
yeah. Yeah,
if I make a lot of money, I'm going to add a jerk off room to the house for my two boys. Like, we're going to build a jerk off foyer.
Foyer, so people have to enter through it?
Yeah, you got to enter through it. It's like, this is what this yeah. house is about. Yeah. Leave your shoes in this room, but this is a. This is a J.O. house, and
yeah,
you need to know
move
that.
On, but just understand yep. what we're going to do after you leave. Well, after you leave, but we will at yep. some point after you leave. This is what's happening.
This is what's happening. And you know right away who we are as a family.
Yeah. How do you feel knowing that you have two boys so that your house will be a J.O. house no matter what in 10 years?
Nah, I'll just
like you don't have a choice.
Take that shit to the streets, dudes. Get it out of my house. Go to the park. Figure it out. Break into a car. Go to a porta potty and whatever you got to do. Keep that shit out of my house. I'm just kidding. I'm not that woke. I'm not building a jerk off foyer.
I don't know if that's woke. I'm not sure.
It's woke. I haven't done the research, but I'm pretty sure that's what woke means. Yeah. Building jerk off rooms.
I get yeah. it. Because that's it's the type positive. Of shit you see. It's one of them shits, but it's like two sex. It's like when real sex has the old people having sex. And it's like,
yeah,
this is too
totally
positive. Turn down the positivity.
Nice real sex reference. I haven't thought about real sex in a while. You'd be like, speaking of J-ing off, you'd be a horny teen and you're like, all right, real sex is on HBO. There's going to be yeah. some good shit. And it was always like maybe 30 seconds of something jerk-offable and then like a horror show into the world of sex for old
two
people and
old
weird
people
communities.
Fucking totally. In tree houses.
Yes,
why are
exactly.
they in the tree houses? Why are they all built like
who
Caitlin
inherited
Clark?
Money. Yeah.
Why are they all built like Caitlin Clark, Benner?
We're at a furry convention in Salem, Oregon, and these are the ugliest people you've ever seen. Have at it, kid.
Yeah. All right, oh, here we go.
And then we're going to tease the sex for like a whole 8-minute segment just to give you 14 seconds of...
This is pre-internet, yeah. USA yeah. up all night, just hoping something comes into your window of jerk-offable. And real sex was not giving it to you.
Up all night. Kudos.
Gen Z does not know how good they have it.
For have real. Any of your kids, have either of your kids taken to the Nuggets? Do either of them seem pro-Nuggets early
Big
on?
Time. Big time, man. We just took them both to their first game. And, you know, they're 5-2. So I was hoping they get to the first half. But they stayed until midway through the fourth quarter. And we were way up.
Good for you.
So it was, yeah, they stayed the whole. I mean, we fed them with every popcorn and hot dogs and all of it. You got to ply your kid the whole time. But they're into it because they've seen me watching religiously. And they've got Jokic jerseys. And my 2-year-old, I can be like, all right, name Nuggets. And he starts going Jokic. And then he's like, Jamal Murray, KCP. Like, he knows, he goes deep. He can name the starting five. He's 2. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
In your best estimation, is Nikola Jokic the greatest Nugget of all time?
Oh, absolutely. There's just, like, no coming back from that. I think before that, you could say it was probably Melo. If you wanted to go further back, you know, like, Alex English was a real beloved Nugget. But yeah, I think Jokic has blown it out of the water. Like, Denver's always been a sort of football town, and the Broncos have always been king. But now with Jokic and all the success he's had, I feel like he is Mount Rushmore Colorado sports, just up there for sure. And he's kind of embraced the community. Like, you know, he's a reclusive guy. He doesn't want the limelight. And Denver is a pretty, like, polite town. So I think people don't mess with him as much as they would in other cities. And I think he's kind of aware of that. Like, there's a playground where he takes his kid, and, like, people know that, but they leave him alone. You know what I mean? It's just, he also rolls with a crew of 50 Serbians and his brothers that, like, nobody fucks with them anyway.
Right.
But still, I just feel like in New York or LA, Jokic, he doesn't like the limelight anyway. I think the Denver's sort of size and sensibility fits the dude in an odd way. So we really love that dude here for sure.
It's super cool that you let him ride his, like, little horse and buggy too around without him saying anything.
Oh, they shut down the streets like the president's in town. They're just like, sorry, Jokic wants to rip his horse down this street, so you can't go to, like, the courthouse.
Like William Taft is in town. They're like,
bro, do you know how pissed and stoked I would be if I was, like, late for a court date because Jokic was riding his horse and buggy? Like, bro,
he's such a good dude.
Yeah.
He'd just wait. He'd be like, my bad. It's good. You no longer have the case. You're good. You're off. Just go home.
His, like, 3 7-foot Serbian brothers are like, don't worry. We talk to judge.
Those dudes are terrifying. The bigger one, he worked out at the gym that I worked out at for a while. And so, like, I've sat in a steam room with the bigger Jokic brother, who's as tall as Jokic, head to toe tatted, and, like, lived through civil war, seen some shit. Like, these are some disappear you in the night type of dudes. And he's the biggest fucker I've ever been around. But yeah, they're scary fuckers. And they're never too far.
They grew up like the Hot Boys did, like Lil Wayne and, like, BG, like a white, like a European Hot,
like
Boys
an Eastern European way. Version of that.
Yeah. 14-year-olds, like, shooting dogs and stuff.
I think, like, you're really right, dude. I think they've seen some serious shit, and they have that sort of air about them.
Did you make small talk in the steam room with them?
No, I didn't at all. No, it was dead silent. It was dead silent. I walked in there. It was just him. And Denver's small. I knew who it was immediately. So I just, like, sat there and sort of took it all in, hoping he would say something. But it's like, I'm not going to break the ice with that. So, like, so what do your tattoos mean?
it's really
I'm here
funny.
Often.
Yeah, is when heart is this is heart of my teacher who was shot in front of me. Ah, got it.
when you're around people that large, I think this is a fairly universal thing, because I used to work with a 7 foot tall guy, and like, you have an urge to like climb him and wrestle him. Like, there's just, but if someone's that giant, it's just like a weird, you just feel like a kid again. And like, this is like in the sauna with that guy is the exact wrong guy to have those feelings about.
Let me try to climb this dude.
Yeah. But I don't, I think of like, hey man, can I climb you? Like in my towel.
I've never once thought to climb anybody. I've been around several people taller than me. I never once wanted to climb. Maybe that's because I'm like a fat guy. Because people do always want to wrestle me. I'm not like a tall guy.
I think people want to wrestle big people.
But as a wide guy, yeah, sometimes I can't even, bro, I can't get a sandwich after 9 p.m. I go out on the streets, like a late night weekend sandwich spot. Somebody is for sure going to try to put their paws on me. So I switch my whole diet around.
My friends who are bigger guys, I always want to hug them. Do people always want to hug you? You just want to like hug a big dude.
Yeah, man. I'm like leaving Trader Joe's like, dog, just give me my, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, whatever. I paid for a bag. I didn't pay for you to hug me on the way out the store.
Yeah, well, no, I should have offered to climb the dude, but he didn't seem like he was in the mood.
No, I'm guessing not. Adam, is this the year that Jamal Murray finally makes an all-star team?
I don't know. They don't seem to be showing him the love. I think he's putting up the numbers. I don't know why Murray can't crack the national attention span. Like, I guess he's kind of boring, or maybe he's Canadian, so they don't want to fuck with him. Like, I don't know, because I just see he doesn't get any national attention, and it's like, I'd rather have him than any other point guard in the league come playoff time. Dude gets it fucking done.
I suspect it's because he gets hurt at the wrong times. Like this year, he missed like 2 weeks early in the year.
He did.
And that's kind of.
But then, like, when it matters, we just played Boston, right? And like Michael Malone sort of went in and made it like a playoff game. He's like, all right, shortened bench. We're just going to get it done against Boston. We had just lost to Philly, and we sort of blew it at the end so that you could tell they were pissed. And so, and what happens? Murray puts up 35 with like 10 rebounds and 8 assists. It's just like in the clutch when they really need it, he does get it done. So certainly having being out for that long with an injury, and you're right, this season he's injured. But I don't know, dude. I think he's so good. And
I think this is perfect for you guys, though. This is a great post championship season, because it's still kind of somehow under the radar, so you don't have like this big ass target on your back.
Yeah,
and being, you know, fourth, fifth ish in the West, which is still seemingly wide, so it still has to go through you, if not home court, but like it still has to go through Jokic. It's almost better, I feel like, than, I don't know, maybe it's also just where you guys are located, but I like the position of where you guys are. If he doesn't make an all-star team, I think it kind of fits into that too.
I think you're right. Denver, and he also is a bulletin board type of guy. Like, chip on his shoulder, he's going to come out and play. Like, he likes that type of thing. So, but you're right. Last season, everybody counted us out. You know, Kendrick Perkins being his stupid self, talking about Jokic. It was all race, just being a moron. And, like, Denver likes flying under the radar, because it's like, okay, underestimate us. If everyone was saying Denver's the Kings, this is a dynasty, blah, 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 we would probably crumble beneath the weight. But it's like, yeah, let us fly under the radar again. We're going to go back to back here.
It does feel like you guys are like the ultimate flying under the radar, because you are the 4 seed, but you are tied in the win column with the 1 and 2 seed. So it's like,
right,
you're as good
as the
Wolves and Thunder.
We're like a game out. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, you know, there's like less pressure now.
I grew up in Denver. I'm used to it being a flyover city. I'm used to the national media not paying any attention to it. And that is almost just like the MO in Denver. You're like, cool, please don't pay attention to us, because that's how we'll like sneak in and just dart your ass and win the championship. So I love that Murray's going under the radar like that. I don't think Aaron Gordon's going to make the All-Star game. KCP is trying to get Defensive Player of the Year, and he's playing lights out. Like, all those accolades, no one's even talking about it, because it doesn't move the needle. It's not LeBron. It's not Steph Curry. We all know what they want to talk about.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of seeing Nuggets in steam rooms, I just remember, Benner, we saw KCP. He really had to take a piss one time. We were at a Sparks game, and he was like, he was about to piss his pants, and we let him cut us in line for the bathroom.
I let him go in line ahead of me because he was like literally doing the pee-pee dance, like holding his dick, being like, hey, can I use the bathroom? And I was like, yeah, man, go ahead.
My buddy and I, who watch the Nuggets religiously, will text each other whenever he does something. We just go, KCP doing KCP things, and I'm adding that to the list. Him doing the pee-pee dance.
Literal KCP. Needing to go to the bathroom. Yeah.
Doing the KCP things. I love that.
Are you worried about Michael Porter Jr.'s February coming up, knowing that he's also going to be having to campaign for Nikki Haley? Is that...
Listen, homeschooled dudes do weird things. That's all I got to say about that. Homeschooled dudes do weird things. Have you listened to Murray's pod? Not Murray. Michael Porter Jr.'s podcast. Have you listened to it?
No, I don't think I knew there was one.
Go on.
He's got one called Curious Mike.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Yep.
And I've listened to two of them. One, he had Jokic on couple weeks ago, and Jokic like doesn't do interviews, so it's like the first time I've heard him talk for 30 minutes, so it's cool in that regard. But he's at Aaron Gordon, he's a, like Peyton Manning on there. It's, you know, you guys are podcasters, it is what it is, but it's just, it's kind of adorable because you realize how young these dudes are, you know. He asks a lot about like, you think you're gonna get married, how'd you meet your girl, like you can tell he's like becoming a man, thinking about this stuff. And listen to Curious Mike, and you tell me what you think about the pod. I'm not going to disparage it. It's interesting to get that window into an NBA player's world.
I think that's a really valid thing to just also highlight, is how fucking young he is, and also very much of the Kyrie Irving school of YouTube algorithms, where it's like, you know, I can't imagine what my kids are going to be like when they can just like put their contact lens in and have all knowledge of everything brought to you by Alphabet or Meta or whatever. So you're right. Maybe I should pass a little less judgment. But
listen, so far, MPJ, nothing anti-Semitic, so I still fuck with him. Any of that Kyrie Irving shit comes out, done, MPJ. I don't care how good that three is.
The thing about Kyrie, though, was like Kyrie was like just – the eventual plays, like Kyrie was on that YouTube shit on the Cavs in 2016. Like the flat earth stuff, I'm a Cavs fan, and like when he was on like road tripping, when they were like recording it on the plane, like it's just this, you know, it's just
you're new here, you made a big mistake if you mention anybody who ever played for the Cavs or participated in
I'm sorry that I can't talk about the team that I'm passionate about.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
At all, ever. Why am I banned? They beat the Bucks last week. They beat the Bucks.
It's like a Manchurian candidate type.
Oh, please.
You were slapped out, Cavs, man. Peter? I saw you. What you said,
yeah,
Cavs?
Yeah,
I
big
saw.
Cavs fan. Big Cavs fan. Well, the reason I like the Nuggets winning was, same
Cavs
with
the
Raptors.
Cavs beat the Bucks so bad they fired their coach. That's how bad the Cavs beat the Bucks. That was wild.
And they just they beat them again a couple nights ago too with good. Giannis. They did a little.
Do the Bucks have a coach yet? Are they just playing coachless? Well,
it's Doc Rivers.
It's Doc Rivers now. The guy was coaching though. Yeah. The guy's coaching out where it was for a second was Joe Brunty, who has like been, he is like the ultimate NBA interim coach. He coached before Quinn Snyder got there in Atlanta. He took over somewhere else too. He just looks like a 2K version of an interim coach, like slicked back gray hair, glasses. But what I was saying about Denver, Toronto, there is something super satisfying about non-traditional NBA teams getting the championship. It just hits so different. And these guys watched me literally elevate my consciousness for the rest of my life watching the Cavs win the championship. But it was so fun. And especially if you guys win it at home, there's just like this thing where I know your kids are like probably a little too young, but you know, for you, a long-suffering Nuggets fan, it's like this thing that you will hold on to for the rest of your life. I'm fucking 7 years removed or something, and it's still like I'm not going to expect another one ever. It'd be nice, but like one is it's it. It's your
you are preaching to the choir. Like, listen, I'm born from. You can't help where you're born. I'm a small market team guy. I love that, and you're always going against big money. And the coastal cities, that's just how it's going to be. So when it does land, when you do get that championship, it means the world. Especially the Nuggets were like a punchline, literally, my whole life. And there was like the Dikembe Mutombo era, but that still was like advanced one round in the playoffs, you know? So you talk about the boys remembering it. At the parade, I took my then one-year-old and four-year-old, and we stood around for an hour with nothing happening until the parade started. Cause I was like, I want that. Even if there's a chance that's in their database of a frame of a memory, I want that shit in there. Cause I didn't have that. So yeah, it definitely,
even if it's
I loved
like,
when
remember that time
Milwaukee
that
won a few years
around
ago,
for an hour?
Same stuff. That's right. Well, then they come down the road and they're like fire trucks. And I was like, no, KCP's hammered. Christian Brown's face down puking. This is awesome.
Did you get to interact with the shirtless Aaron Gordon?
No, I wish I had. Dude, my dad, my 77-year-old dad, loves Aaron Gordon so much. And like, if you start talking about him, yeah, we'll talk basketball for 30 seconds, and then it goes straight to how good looking he is. He always just like loves the vibe of AG to the point that he's got a bobblehead, and my mom got him for his birthday. Aaron Gordon's weird Japanese sneakers, and like the sneakers and the bobblehead are by the TV, and it's like my dad's little AG shrine to his little man crush AG. Dude.
J.O. His J.O.
It's his J.O. room. He's building his own J.O. room, and God bless him. He's worked hard his whole fucking life. Kids are out of the house.
Yeah.
Get yourself an AG J.O. room.
And what a like progressive stance by your mom to kind of like support and encourage the things that he loves too.
Very cool watching the new angles they're taking as a couple. Very fun to see later in life.
Hey, where's Pop? Oh, you know, he's just in the back jacking off.
That nice young man.
That nice young man whose sneakers I got him.
You remember the guy from Orlando. You remember.
So how you been? Totally. Sit down. Do you want some tea?
It's gonna be a minute. They're interviewing him in the pregame.
Adam, I speaking of people talking about their teams too much, I am a Sixers fan, and I haven't brought it up once yet.
Let's
talk. Wait a minute. Better talks about the Sixers so much more, Jamel, and just because
we have
why?
To talk
why?
About the Sixers because the Sixers are a national entity. They're the fifth most popular team in the league.
Yeah, but like, come on, you know, I show up to this podcast sometimes.
You show up to this podcast occasionally.
But Adam, I want to know what your feeling is in this. You know, we just watched the Nuggets play the Sixers in rivalry week. Embiid, of course, did not play. But how do you feel about this weird forced rivalry between the two? Because I don't like it.
It is definitely forced. It's manufactured to get you know, the eyeballs on these games or whatever. And as somebody from a small market team, with Jokic is number one, everyone's saying that. So it's like Jokic is getting his due. But still, with any time the Nuggets get on national TV, I'm extra excited because that's still a rarity to me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, if you want to saddle us as a rivalry with a team that is popular, like the 76ers, yeah, absolutely. I think it's a bit manufactured, but I do think Embiid at this point is kind of ducking it real hard. And I think you only know, in Denver. Yeah, he showed up that other game, played great the last time we played.
The Nuggets the other night, yeah, in Philly.
Here's the thing, how I feel, and you're a 76ers fan, this shit matters to Embiid so much that it's kind of sad, and Jokic doesn't give a fuck. And that, to me, is like the difference between those two dudes. Like, they're both killer. I would want them on my team any day of the week. I think Embiid whined and bitched about the MVP until he got one. And Jokic checked out that season because, like, I don't want to deal with this shit. Kendrick Perkins has made it racial and ugly. I'm stopping playing. I'm sitting games. I'm done with it. I think Embiid is a little more needy than Jokic, who doesn't even want to be in the league.
See, I reject that narrative.
Okay.
I think there's a whole – Jokic doesn't even like basketball. This is a job for him. I think he loves basketball. I think he hates America.
I think you might be right about that. I think you might be right about that.
I think he just wants to go home.
You saw that game winner against Golden State where he hit that three in the last second. He's screaming, losing his mind. He's into the game. He loves basketball. But, yeah, he doesn't want to be out of Serbia.
Didn't, like, Kerr talk shit to him or something in that game?
Yep. Yeah, he said he was diving and shit. Like, Michael Jordan needs to punch Steve Kerr again and fix him.
I think so. I think now is actually the time to punch Steve Kerr. He just was a little – he was like 30 years too early.
Somebody get Jordan on a plane to punch Steve Kerr. Just walk in the Golden State's practice, deck his ass. They'll win the fucking championship if he does it.
Is his back stable enough to get socked in the face?
I don't know
about
that.
We'll find out.
Get a brace on him. Have a medical staff look at him. If it's Philly's medical staff, they'll sit him. We know that, don't we?
I will say Joel Embiid obviously ran runner-up behind Jokic 2 years in a row for MVP. And I think to want to be the MVP is a good thing. So, like, if you want to be the best player in basketball and you're just kind of telling people, I want to win MVP – people took that as whiny, but I took it as like him being like, I'm as good as Jokic. I want fucking recognition like he's getting.
I think people took it as whiny, but a little bit, but I asked, and I think you're right. Yeah, you want your best player to say, I'm the best player and I want to be recognized as the best player. That's just confidence. That's athletes. I think people took it as you care more about the individual accolade than you care about a championship. And so if Embiid this season where he's saying, I don't care if I miss the next six games and disqualifies me from MVP. If he just like sits and rests his knees and you all go deep and perhaps win, then I'll never say another fucking word about it. Like, all right, Embiid.
Well, that's not going to happen. They're going to get bounced from the second round again.
So that's what I'm saying. So it's like until you do it's championships, right? It's championships.
But if you realize you're never going to do the thing, then what is your other option? You just got to just sit there and be quiet and lose in the second round for the rest of your life? Or do you get on Twitter because you know how to tweet and you know how to save drafts? A lot of players don't know how to save their drafts like Embiid does.
I think this is also the year they could definitely be in the Eastern Conference final. Milwaukee is – Doc Rivers is not saving Milwaukee.
He's hurting them.
Bad.
He's not coaching them. Where is he?
Porzingis also in the Porzingis and Joe Mazzuzza, I'm not scared by in Boston still.
Like there's Boston when we played them, that was really eye opening. I was like, all right, I think we can handle Boston. New York's coming up strong right now. They're looking, although somebody just went down, right? Somebody just got injured.
Yeah, Julius Randle's gonna be out.
Yeah.
Apparently narrowly missed a serious injury, so he's only gonna be out for a couple weeks, but
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think Philly could go deep, but yeah, it's just we'll see. That you better know better than I do. They inevitably sort of fold.
Yeah, but we'll see. I will say this: you mentioned people.
Round, oh. You just throw Mazzuzza a Rubik's cube. call a timeout late in the fourth and throw him a Rubik's cube.
Well, we know he won't call a timeout late in the fourth, so might not be able to get it to him there.
It is the weirdest mix of like inept coach and very good team.
I think if they hire Doc Rivers back, I would be like, I'd watch out for the Celtics. I'm not confident that they're going to. I mean, I guess Drew Holiday does make them better, but I think Philly's got just as good of a chance as anybody to come out of the East this year. Who do you think, Adam, like, who are you afraid of in the West right now? The West feels always slightly better than the East, but it also does feel like it doesn't feel like any team this year feels undeniable. Like the Warriors teams felt like they were, they, no one was going to get in their way. But who were you kind of concerned about heading into the second half of the season?
You know, a couple of teams. The Clippers are starting to look pretty gelled together. And like typically you think like, you know, four big stars, this is going to fall apart. This formula is not working. But lately they seem to connect and they kind of seem to be like not talking a big game, just like getting it done. They seem to be kind of keeping as low a profile for the Clippers as they can. You know what I mean? But also Minnesota scares me because they took the Nuggets GM. He went over there and they're literally built to defeat Jokic. Like that's what they, and it's a point of pride between franchises. Minnesota wants to beat Denver real bad and has been building their team accordingly. And also, man, OKC's real fucking good. OKC's scary. They've kicked our ass twice. So those are the teams that are kind of scaring me out of the West. I'm not scared of the Lakers. They'll implode. I'm not scared of Golden State. They are imploding and have been all season. I think it's kind of wide open. But here's what I will say as a Nuggets fan and why I'm blessed to live in an era and a city where Jokic is playing. I don't really fear anyone in a series. Head-to-head, I'm scared of teams. They can beat us on any given night. You give that man, who I think is the best brain in basketball, a couple of games, three best out of five, we're going to win. He's going to figure out a way. He's going to take a look at what you threw at him the last game and tweak and adjust. And so as a Nuggets fan, like I feel real good in a series against anyone.
Jokic does remind me like LeBron playing against end of his Heat years, second stint with the Cavs, where he's like, I have all the tools in the world. It doesn't matter. I will use these tools as needed to do whatever. Like if I need to score 50, I'll score 50. If I have 20 assists and shoot 12 times, that's what I'll do. I'm with you. I guess you have to kind of give an honorable mention to Phoenix too, but I think Phoenix is so fragile that they're probably not a real concern. I'm with you. I think Clippers are. I mean, these guys are in LA, and they would know better than me. But Clippers seem
very pro Clippers for sure. I don't know about Benner. Benner
might. Well, you know me. I did not want the Sixers to get rid of James Harden. I think that is one of the dumbest moves they have ever done. And all it took was firing Daryl Morey and letting Nick Nurse talk to James Harden for a week. And maybe it could have worked. But, I mean, when that trade happened, people were clowning the Clippers for making that move. And then five games in, he's just been all-star James Harden again.
Yeah, I always think James Harden is like kryptonite for a team because he just seems like such a fucking head case. Like, problems follow him everywhere. But, dude, with the Clippers, he's looking real good, real dialed in. Jamel, is that your team, the Clippers?
No.
You're a free agent?
No, I like the Washington Wizards.
Oh, shit. Okay.
He's effectively a free agent.
So then you know my Nuggets pain. I mean, Wizards have been a punchline for years, dude. Like that's.
I feel like, we have been, and it was, I don't know. I was thinking about it historically, like who had it worse, and I would still say us.
You got, that's true.
Because at least had the video of Mutombo.
Clutching the ball, rolling around on the floor.
We didn't even have that, bro.
You know, we also had Melo and Iverson at the same time. I mean, that was a pretty fun combo. And we got to the Western Conference Finals where we always got smoked by the Lakers. So, like, we've had some better eras than the Wizards for sure.
Do you think, what would you do if you were the head of the Nuggets, you own the Nuggets? Obviously, Jokic is the best player, and he wears number 15, and his jersey is going in the rafters. Do you acknowledge Carmelo at all? Do you try to patch it up and say, hey, yeah, you asked for the trade, but come on, we had some good times.
That's how I feel, dude. I'm not a Melo hater at all. Like, he was such a big era of Nuggets basketball, and then he did ask for the trade, and then he went out. But it's like, dude, he was drafted two behind LeBron. And he was watching the LeBron show, and the Nuggets weren't getting it done for him, so he tried to get out and go somewhere else and win a championship. You can't really begrudge a player that. But every time the Nuggets are trying to pull Melo back in and be like, he'll say some dumb shit like he did on his podcast. It's like nobody gave him the jersey. They didn't give Jokic 15 to spite your ass. He was the biggest kid in Serbia, and they number the sizes from 1 to 15. That's why he wore 15. Like, so Melo just keeps burning the bridge, and it's just kind of stupid. Like, I would love to have two 15s in the rafters, but then he keeps saying stupid shit, and you're like, well, you're never as big as Jokic. You won a championship. You can't be as big as he is in this city. You didn't get it done. Like, what do you expect?
Open to two 15s, though.
But size differential. Jokic has got to be a bigger 15.
One's a bigger
and there's
jersey.
There's a littler 15 Melo right next to it.
That's physically correct.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I'm going to read you the full trade for Melo, because I think what Melo did unintentionally was cause such a ruckus that he forced the Knicks' hand, which I think was very helpful for you guys in hindsight. But you guys gave them Melo, Billups, Sheldon Williams, Anthony Carter, and Ronaldo Bulkman. Gosh. And you got Wilson Chandler, Raymond Felton, Danilo Gallinari, Timofey Mozgov, a Knicks 2014 first-round draft pick, the Warriors 2012 second round, and their 2013 second round, and $3 million in cash. I think because he was caused such a ruckus, it honestly kind of accidentally helped you guys not get as, fucked as you could have been in your future. It feels like there's probably some interconnected pieces or sliding doors to get you to this current team in some way.
I mean, I guess they had to blow it up and build it back up, right? Like, I wonder who that 2014 draft pick was. I'm curious about that.
Moutier.
It was a second rounder, wasn't it?
I think he said it was a first rounder.
Oh, was it a first rounder? I was going to say, if it was a second rounder, it might have been Jokic.
During the Taco Bell commercial, you know about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so great.
I wish they named, he gotten a nickname.
It was that year. It was that year.
But it was a first round?
Yeah, no, he was they gave them their first round pick. But, yeah, let's see. 2014, they only had one. They must have traded it again. Devin Marble? Does that sound like a name you remember?
Not at
Devin
all.
Marble? Devin Marble sounds like a child magician. Maybe not. It's like a kid who does puzzles on YouTube.
Right. It's a kid that does marble races on YouTube. Have you seen that genre of video?
Hi, I'm Devin Marble.
Why does Devin Marble have 50 million views? God damn it.
Devin Marble's crushing me.
Let's see. 2014, they drafted Gary Harris.
Yeah, Yusef Nurkic. Yeah.
Doug McDermott that you traded to Chicago.
Nurkic played ahead of Jokic.
For a while. And then, Devin Marble, who was traded to Orlando.
Wow, wild. So it wasn't a direct, that didn't really get us Jokic per se. But you're right in thinking that it's like, all right, it was the end of the Melo experiment, the end of the era, and the Nuggets totally started refiguring everything at that point. But again, they didn't know what they were getting in Joker. They knew something was there, but they didn't realize this dude was going to become, arguably the best player in the modern era. Like, they didn't know that.
You know what's crazy? This has happened a few times. I think everybody realized how late we were to see Arvydas Sabonis. And then kind of from that point, everybody's taking a chance on the best big man overseas. And once every 8 or 9 years, it works. And then the other 8 or 9 years, it's like, please send this man back to Barcelona. Why did you bring him here?
Real Madrid should be for soccer and nothing else.
Yeah. I can't believe y'all showed us this guy.
Devin Marble last played professionally in Israel. I hope he's doing
there
okay.
There you go. Shalom, baby.
Dude, my mom, who is a big Nuggets fan, sent me a picture of this today. You know, remember Will Barton? He played for the Nuggets.
Oh, of course.
Do I remember Will Barton? Do I have his mixtape still saved in my Spotify? Yes.
Well, his mixtape is about to get way crazier because he just signed with CSKA Moscow.
That sounds like a Will Barton move. Will would go to Russia.
Dude, can you think of a worse place to go right now than Russia? Like, oh, fuck, dude. You're playing in Jesus Christ.
I wonder if he made it like, nah, y'all got to pay me on Venmo.
Like, are we sure that's not like, are we sure that team's not like the Russian version of the Harlem Globetrotters that's like entertaining the troops or something on the front lines as well?
Yeah, no, he might have just gotten drafted into the Russian army. Like, he's going to be in Kiev in a couple weeks. Yeah.
We said we needed a shooter. So,
imagine happy showing trails. Up to practice. You're like, hey guys, practice is here, and it's a Call of Duty map.
Adam, before we wrap it up, I want to ask you a question because I had one experience in Denver when I first drove out from Philadelphia to Los Angeles when I first moved out here. We stopped in Denver on our way to visit a friend for a night. And something happened that in the intervening years, I'm like, I don't know if this was a fever dream or I just imagined it. But it was one of the more surreal things that happened on that road trip. We went to, did John Elway own a chain of bagel shops?
No, not at all. He owns a chain of steakhouses. He's got fancy steakhouses and he's got car dealerships.
Yeah, got it.
Did you have a bagel at a car dealership and thought it was a
well, no, we went into a bagel shop in the morning on our way out of town, and I swear to fucking God, John Elway was just standing in the bagel shop.
Hell yeah.
And he was wearing, you remember Zuba pants? He was wearing Denver Broncos Zuba pants. And
what,
I'm like,
what year is this?
Is that possible that that happened, or has my memory just made that over time?
I mean, sure, anything's possible. Elway's around, dude. He lives here. He's a Denver guy. You see him sometimes. I don't know about the Zuba pants. I don't know about the bagel shop, but I like the details a lot.
It seemed like he was like waiting around too long. Like he wasn't waiting for food. Like maybe he was like making sure someone was counting the register out correctly. I don't know.
Maybe he was just waiting to be recognized, dude. He needed a pick me up that day.
Yeah.
He's wearing the Broncos pants.
What if he was
is
doing
it fair to describe? Is it fair to describe John Elway as a human version of like a caricature drawing that you get in like Central Park?
Yes. The Sklar brothers, who are friends of mine, have the best joke. They're like, every year as he ages, John Elway just becomes more and more like the Broncos logo. He's just turning in to the Broncos logo. I was like, yeah, that's pretty perfect, man.
Just eventually they're going to like make him sit in like the airport, like that horse out there, just like the runway.
He had the scariest duo of teeth. The coach had crazy teeth, and he had crazy teeth, too. Mm. You don't see that often.
Yeah, a lot of teeth. Guys, I bombed in front of John Elway last year hard. And I have a whole fucking...
Surprised he didn't sign you to be a quarterback then, am I right?
I have a whole story about it, but I basically, like, his chain of dealerships hired me to be the talent for their fucking Christmas awards gala banquet. And it's like your classic corporate gig. Went 5 hours, then a band played, then they bring me out, and I just fucking ate it so hard in front of my boyhood hero until I told one dirty joke, which they had told me not to do. But I was like, fuck it, I'm bombing. Elway's there. I need to get this dude to laugh. So I told a dirty joke, and he's just like, ha! He just did one, like, man laugh. And then I was like, all right. And then I got out of it. They wanted me to do 45 minutes. I did 19. I did 19 minutes.
Oh!
Hey, that's how hard I bombed.
Get one and get gone.
Fucking A. At least I went out on a laugh, and it paid really good, but I don't think they're booking me next year, dudes.
That's quite all right. You played your hand. You played the hand you were dealt, man.
I'll go to Jokic's Christmas party next year and crush. I'll just do Serbian folk tunes.
Yeah.
He'll love it.
Let me tell you about the time I saw your brother's dick.
Well, I'll tell you where you didn't bomb. It was in Wallpaper You Killed. That is a great special. People can find it on YouTube now. Is there anything else you want to plug besides the Growlix Save the World?
That's it. I just want to say support those Denver Nuggets any way possible. Just get out there and support our Denver Nuggets, everyone. Thanks for letting me talk about them.
Of course. Jamel, Peter, anything you want to plug before you wrap up?
I think I'm going to be in Denver the 420 weekend. Just stay tuned for details.
Hell yeah.
Catch me at the Wolfpack Dispensary in Aurora.
Nope. I'm good.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening. Check out Jamel at the Wolfpack Dispensary on 420. And we love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.